Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates from Living Compassion. It's my pleasure to be joined tonight by Marie from Georgia. Welcome, Marie.
Hi, Michael.
How are you?
I'm good, good.
Great. Hey, we're going to talk about something really fascinating tonight, and let's start that off with a little audio clip here.
Great.
Okay, hold on.
What's this from Living Compassion?
If you've got a craving for fundraising and can't get enough of the good stuff, cruise and jet on the internet to www.sanghamarket.
That's sanghamarket.com for all of you squares out there.
Sangha Market, where you can sell, auction, buy, all to benefit Living Compassion. Check it out today.
Marie, tell us about Sangha Market.
Well, you know, after hearing that, one of the things I love about Sangha Market is it seems to be bringing a lot of creativity out.
Yeah.
And so what the Sangha Market is an online marketplace that's created by a group of volunteers. And they don't make any money. They just volunteer to do this. And this site is a place where you can buy and sell things to benefit Living Compassion.
Great. Sounds a little bit like eBay.
Yeah, yeah. It's a lot like eBay, only a lot more fun.
Great. Great.
And, you know, one of the things that's really fun about it is it's Sangha out there, you know, selling things.
Yeah.
And I get kind of a thrill out of going there to shop.
Yes, yes. I was just browsing there before. There's a lot of fun stuff there.
Yeah, I got really excited, too, because I was looking at it today, and I tend to visit it every day to see what's new. And there's just, I get excited when I see some of the things people are coming up with.
Great. Do you have some examples for us?
I do. There's lots of examples. You know, a couple of my favorite things today is someone's making bracelets with little messages on them.
Yes.
And there's quite a selection has been added. And there's little bracelets for kids, or you can get bracelets with your, you know, favorite quotes for practice.
Oh, great.
That's one of my favorites. There's something called the Blanket of Acceptance,
yeah,
which is really, really, from what I understand, I think I'm going to order it, a blanket, the most cushy, comfortable blanket you can imagine.
Yeah.
And it comes with a CD of the guided imagery that Sherry has done called Blanket of Acceptance.
Yes, yes. I just saw that this afternoon. It was such a great idea.
Yeah, but really there's all kind of things out there. There's, you know, there's other jewelry. There's the Voices cartoon series. There are T-shirts available. People are putting offering services like computer support or coaching sessions. Somebody's even singing happy birthday for a donation. They'll make a call and sing happy birthday.
Great. Great. Yeah, I was really taken by the T-shirts for the Voices.
Yeah, yeah. And
it's just so great to have that reminder and in such a lighthearted, funny way.
Yeah, and I think those are only available till July 17th. So, and then I think a big order is going to be placed.
So jump in.
Yeah, yeah.
Great, great. And I also understand that this month is a focus on auctions.
Yeah, we did a special, there's a special focus on auctions this month, and a few people have put some really nice things on there. I noticed so far that there's this really nice quilt that's available for auction. Somebody put their grandfather's antique Victrola, which
wow,
is a record player from what I understand, and it's on there for sale for 100% donation to Living Compassion.
Wow.
And
great.
There's smaller things for auction, like a scarf. And there's one thing I noticed today that I would really like to have is there's two very large paintings that were painted by one of the monks for a peace event. They're 4 by 8 feet, and they're for sale.
Yes, they're huge, and they're beautiful.
Yeah, yeah. So if I just lived in California, I would be bidding.
Not so easily shipped.
Yeah, no, can't ship it.
So you mentioned about one of those items being 100% donation.
Yeah.
Could you tell a little bit more about the donation and how it benefits Living Compassion?
Well, yeah, because the Sangha market is set up so the sellers donate from 20% to 100% of the selling price to Living Compassion. And that's exciting because that creates a whole lot of possibility because people can sell things and actually make some money for themselves and donate some to Living Compassion.
Yeah.
Or some people are able to offer some things at 100% donation. But all of that goes to benefit Living Compassion.
Yes.
Which is really exciting.
It is exciting. It's a win-win. And I'm going to add another win, which is it will get the stuff out of my house. To a home that will really love it and use it.
Yeah, so that's what's so great about it. There's so many ways to have products on there because, like, I noticed somebody has set up a store called Family Matters.
Oh.
And they are selling some of the things that of their children's things that they're ready to let go of.
Oh, great.
So it's great like that because you can actually sell things that you really just don't want or don't need anymore.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be a, you know, piece of art or a creative thing. It can be anything, really.
Yes, yes. And I just want to underline what you said about the win-win, which is a person selling stuff could make some money for themselves, and it also benefits Living Compassion.
Right.
So it really
right.
supports the heart, supports myself in supporting the heart, and everybody wins there.
Right, right. Yeah, and anyone can participate in it. It's easy to set up an account, and it's easy to go there and just shop and browse. I think that's the best first step.
Yeah.
Just kind of look around and see what's out there, because I get really excited when I see what other people in the Sangha are doing.
Yes, yes. Do you want to tell people the website?
Oh, yeah, that's important. It's www.sanghamarket.com, and it's sangha.market.com.
Yes.
And you can also get to it from the What's New page on the Living Compassion site. It's real easy to click to it from there.
Great. And if I'm a complete novice to eBay and selling stuff and how this works, are there any tools that can help me out?
Well, there are, Michael. There's quite a few guides. There's a section called Getting Started, and you can click on that, and there are several step-by-step guides. And actually, the first item on there is a demonstration phone call that we recorded. And so it actually kind of takes you on a tour through the site. You can sit there and click around while you listen. And so it's really a great way to just learn some tips and get real familiar with it really quickly. And then there's also some other guides. And then there's also a Contact Us link right in the upper right area that you can always do that and ask for help, ask for support, ask a question.
That is really wonderful.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Great. Anything else you'd like to tell us about that?
Well, another thing that's fun is you can actually set up your own little store front.
Right, like the Family Matters one.
Yeah, like the Family Matters one. There's quite a few on there, and they're really fun and creative, and you can make yourself a little logo if you want to, and then all the things that you're selling are kind of in a collected area.
Oh, great.
Yeah, so that's fun.
Great. It sounds like there's a real sense of possibility there.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I think it can really bring out the creativity in us because, you know, my husband and I were trying to think of something to sell, and we have a lot of bamboo in our backyard that's really kind of like a weed where we live.
Yeah.
And we're making these little bamboo water fountains to sell on Sangha Market.
Wow. Wow. That's
so
exciting.
It's really kind of challenging and fun to try to think of something to make and sell.
Yes. Yes, that's great. I had something to share, and then your idea about bamboo just totally blasted it out of my mind. Yeah, very fun. I remember what I was going to say.
Okay.
And that is that the sense I get from practice is it's about deepening community.
And this
is another way to deepen community. And within the privileged environment, we do that, and it's not personal. And somehow it's even more intimate in ways that I cannot explain. But that's
It's really is exciting that way, because being on the Sangha market, I do get the experience of feeling like I'm with Sangha. And, you know, seeing other people's items on there, it's just a real connected feeling. And I actually made purchased a piece of art someone put on there, and it's now in my dining room. And so I know that was made by a Sangha person.
Yes. Yes. And if I were you, I'd be projecting a lot of attention and love and care.
Yeah. It's
all
really
of that
special.
Onto it.
Yeah. It's really special to have it in my house.
Wonderful. Marie, thanks so much for joining us tonight.
Thank you, Michael.
Okay. Good night.
Bye-bye.
Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael.
How are you?
That was marvelous. Possibly my favorite moment was when you pointed out the great benefits of getting this stuff out of your house. I agree with all of the feeling connected to Sangha. What a marvelous way to participate, and I particularly like that you both made the point strongly that this is a way that people can also generate income for themselves and share some with Sangha. But I'm completely inspired by the getting it out of my house. That was great.
It was fun. It was fun. And it was fascinating, too, because about a few seconds after I said that, the voices were kind of right there with, you know, was that appropriate? And just fascinating.
Oh, yeah. Well, they're always right there to try to rain on somebody's parade, aren't they?
Yes.
Yeah. We pay them no mind. Too bad. Well, actually, you can get the voices on Sangha Market. It's a slightly different variety. It'd be great if we could all just, you know, put them on there and put them on a boat to somewhere. But we can go on and get the T-shirts from the Voices cartoons. I'm very excited about that.
Yeah.
And the bracelet.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm a candidate for one of those bamboo fountains. That's for darn sure.
Yes.
So it's good to think in terms of emptying the house out so that I can fill it up again.
Yes.
With all of the new stuff from Sangha, and I love that notion that you brought up at the end of, you know, Marie looks at that painting, and she knows what somebody in the Sangha has. All, as you say, all the love and care and compassion and kindness that has gone into creating that. And then she has that in her home to look at every day. So
yes.
I'm eager to surround myself with more reminders, not just of practice, but of Sangha.
Yes. 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 Wonderful.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
We're lucky people.
And the other, I have some more things here that are wonderful.
Oh, good.
And that is that you'll be at Mount Madonna coming up sooner and sooner.
It is. It's really coming up soon. Not that I don't love Mount Madonna. I do love Mount Madonna. But then minutes after that, it's a month in Zambia. And so time she's a flying by.
Yes. So that's a weekend retreat, July 30th to August 1st. And then on August 8th, we'll have the return of the at-home working meditation retreat.
Ah, yes.
The ever-popular at-home working meditation.
Yeah, talk about a great Sangha experience.
Yes.
That's it.
Yes. And the last thing I have to mention is for monthly donors, there will be another guidance day on August 28th.
Lovely little perk for being someone who regularly supports their practice.
Yes, yes, yes. And I'll just give a little plug generally for the monthly donor program as a way of staying connected and supporting that which supports me.
You know, I know it could sound like to people like we're awfully focused on money here, but one of the things that I appreciate so much about our practice is that it's actually, it's the efforts of so many people who keep it available for everyone, regardless of somebody's financial circumstances in the moment. So there are so many things that people can avail themselves of that don't cost anything.
Yes.
Yeah, and just the monthly donor process, the number of people who participate in that, and I happen to know, because I hear these rumors, that, you know, people change the amount that they give based on how they're doing financially. And it's not, you know, it's not about how much we give. It's that we all give what we can give. That's what makes practice work for us as individuals and for the practice that supports us.
Yes, yes, yes.
Why egocentric karmic conditioning hates the whole thing so very much.
Yes, 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 indeed. And something about what you said reminded me that it's about each of us doing the work for ourselves.
Yes. Yeah. All of us holding up our share. And yes, we're doing it for one another. And primarily, we're doing it for ourselves.
Yes.
We're the first one to benefit from whatever we put into practice.
Yes. Yes. Wonderful.
Yeah. Got some folks?
We have a lot of folks. A lot of wonderful folks.
Good.
Let's begin. First caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hi, it's Jonathan from England.
Hey, Jonathan.
Hi.
Well, I guess you get sleep the rest of the nights, right?
Oh, I've got it all figured out, the schedule.
Good. Oh, very, very good. I won't worry about you then.
What I wanted to talk about this week was just the process of doing this practice on your own. Because I think on a couple of the archives I've been listening to you telling people that, you know, the problem is that you're the only person who's dealing with your practice, and it's potentially dangerous or it can potentially go wrong.
It's true.
I mean, I've contacted the monastery. I'm going to use the services of a life coach, but I just wanted you to talk a little bit about, I mean, I'm sure lots of people are listening don't have anybody to talk this over with directly face-to-face, and I was just wondering what your opinion was of that.
Well, you know, everything's dangerous depending on how we approach it.
Right.
So the little routine that I always go through under these circumstances is, you know, say it occurs to you that you would like to win an Olympic gold medal. And that's a pretty big aspiration. So if that's what occurs to you, then you're going to switch your whole life around and devote all your time, energy, and resources to getting to the best coach that you can find and making that dream come true. Now, if you just want to, you know, be somebody who swims a few laps or hits a ball back and forth somewhere, then, you know, you can do that whenever time and space allow, and it can be a hobby, and you can enjoy it, and it can add a certain pleasure and enjoyment to your life, and that'll be that. So in the same way with practice, we want to look at what we want from it. And if it's a matter of just wanting a practice that, you know, kind of makes life better and is interesting but doesn't really have too much disrupting factor, then, you know, it doesn't matter so much. But if you're looking at liberation, if you want to end suffering in this lifetime, then you'd want to arrange your life accordingly.
So, sort of trying to find as much support as possible.
Yes. And in doing that, you're going to run into all the same stuff. Okay, when you come to the monastery, you will probably hear the monks talk about the fact that on occasion the voices will jump up and start talking to them about, I don't want to be here, I don't want to do this, I hate it, it's miserable. So it's not like going to a monastery ends all your problems immediately. What it does is support your heart in going up against the very same conditioning and karma that everybody else is running into. So the voices are not going to leave you alone, even though you're clear over there in London. And you will find support for yourself to practice, and you will run into what everybody runs into as they attempt to deepen their practice. And at some point, you will just know what the next step is for you.
Right, so it's almost like what you're saying is like if you make a decision to follow this path, you could be on your own, you could be surrounded by people, but it's actually going to be what it's going to be, and
yes.
It's not really the central issue at all.
No, and when it becomes the central issue, you'll know what the decision is.
See, what I've been doing is like I've sort of been listening to the archive and just listening to a couple of your reservations that you give to people and just thinking like, oh, well, hang on a minute, that's what I'm doing. I'm sat here with books and the archives and I call the show and I'm meditating, but I mean, I don't actually sit down with anybody.
Jonathan,
well, I'm talking to you.
How long have you been doing this?
Well, this is like the 10th week or something.
I wouldn't let the voices get too agitated.
Well, no, I mean, it's sort of manageable. And I think what the wonderful thing is that they just keep repeating the same things that they've been saying for for years. And it's kind of, it's sort of stopped working. And I just sort of say, yeah, but I'm taking care of myself now. I accept myself unconditionally. It's like,
yeah.
It's strange. I mean, I feel like it's a bit mad in a way, but I'll just give you an example of like, I was having conditioning just tell me, Buddhism is just completely the wrong path the other day, and this Sherry Huber, like, what's she all about? And I was like, I just thought, well, she hasn't made my life any worse than it was before. it's like if I got a bottle of whiskey and drank that, you wouldn't start complaining about that, would you?
Exactly.
And it's just kind of things like that that I just really see so clearly now.
Yeah.
To criticize what I'm doing, trying to derail it. I'm just like,
yeah.
Well, where's your evidence? It's working.
Yeah, yeah. And all that might happen for you is that you realize you want more. And when you do, you'll pursue more.
Get to California.
Not that far. I've been to London.
No, I think I just wanted to find out, because sometimes on the archive you say something and it sends a shiver down my spine because I'm like, that's what I'm doing. That's my mistake,
Yeah. And that's all the same thing, isn't it?
Mm.
Yeah. So if you hear something and it begins to sort of roll around in the back of your mind and you think, maybe I would like to look into that. Maybe I'd like to know more about that. Maybe I'd like to explore that. That's great. But the voices are going to kick in anytime they sense an opening to, as you say, undermine what you're doing or try to distract you or get your attention away from where you are in the present and involved with them. So we can't take any of that too seriously. What we can do is increasingly trust our hearts to guide us.
Well, I think I've really been able to do that. I mean, another example is like I had this list of sort of conversations that I would have with you, and it's just kind of getting up to like, I'm going to need like about 100 telephone calls to get through this. And then I got to the point, I thought, well, I imagine if you'd actually had those 100 telephone calls and you talked about all of these separate issues, what would be the next step? And I thought the next step would be to accept this person who's gone through all this stuff with unconditional love and acceptance. You know, after you've had this all these conversations. So why don't you do that now? And it was like such an amazing moment for me, because I thought, I don't have to have all these conversations. I can just start accepting, except that I feel like I need to have these conversations for a start.
Right. Well, conditioned mind wants you to believe you have to have all those conversations. But at a deeper level, you know where you're headed. You're already doing it.
Yeah. But it's
so
like,
all of that is just an attempt to, again, distract you and get you involved in a little suffering here on the side, so that you don't just, you know, slide into living without conditioned mind too quickly. Right. Keep going. Keep me going.
I will keep going.
All right. I know you will.
Thank you, Sharon.
Good like that. Thank you. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Jonathan. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we have another caller here. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. This is Catherine.
Hey, Catherine.
Hi.
How you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm joining the ranks of the people who have decided to call in on a regular basis.
Very good.
And
check I'm liking this club, I got to tell you.
Yeah, I found it very inspiring, and I have a lot of conditioning to not participate and to feel like I don't fit in.
I wish we could have everybody listening in raise a hand if they also feel that way. It's just such a struggle for all of us.
Mm-hmm. And I'm noticing, I've seen that the more, so nervous.
Think
not
of it
nervous.
As excited.
Excited, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of energy right now.
Yeah, a lot of energy.
I really want to participate, and I really want to belong. And also, I know that I do.
Yes.
And the story that I don't is such an old one and so compelling that it will. I'm on to some of it now, but I'm noticing that in little ways at my job, just with my neighbors. Any kind of community or group of people, it's just conditioning seems to be right there trying to separate me.
Get you alone, right?
Get me alone.
It's an abusive, battering relationship. So, yes, of course it wants to get you alone.
And it's first, I think something that comes first is that it separates me from myself. So I'm not present to myself, and I'm not present.
Yeah.
And when I'm present, I feel like I'm with myself.
Yes.
And it seems at first that
and like yourself, and
like
enjoy yourself, and feel like you belong.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
All those things happen when you're present. So those things happen when you're present. Those other things happen when you're not.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it seems to me that first that happens, and then I'm separated from myself, and then I start to feel separate from everything else.
Yes.
And when I'm not separate from myself, when I'm present, then I belong.
Yes. Again, it's a matter of why does conditioned mind work so hard to get you not to meditate, not to go on retreat, not to have this kind of conversation? Because those are the things that most quickly and easily help you come back to yourself.
I'm wondering if I'm participating in lots of practice opportunities, and hi, Sherry, are you there?
Yeah, I am.
Oh, okay.
I think Michael has background noise.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think hear little. I think I hear little people joining us.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
That's okay. That's okay. I'm participating. I intend to keep participating. Is there anything else? I would really like to drop this karma, drop this conditioning, or see as much about it as I can.
For me, the easiest way to work with something like that, when it's so clearly apparent to you, is to use it as your signal to do whatever it is that brings you back to yourself.
Okay.
So every time it starts in with the separation campaign, you recognize, I was just writing about this today for the new book, as a matter of fact, and identify clearly exactly what the self-talk is. So you know you've been around for a long time. And you notice you've been around for a long time and we haven't made a single effort to get rid of you.
I have noticed that.
Yeah, it's good.
I have noticed
that. Good to keep that in mind. So, when we get identified with a piece of conditioning like that, it takes over the body. You know, so our body language changes and our facial expression and the kinds of thoughts we're having and what we're projecting onto other people, the self-talk and all of that. Suddenly the world has this particular look. And we can learn to recognize that particular look and have it come with a big label that says, the karma of trying to make me believe I don't belong, or the karma of isolation and torture, or whatever it is. And so you begin to recognize when that comes in, and you literally train yourself that your first response to that is, oh, I need to, and then it's whatever it is that's going to bring you back to yourself. Again, I respond really well to notes to myself and to listening to things. So in that kind of situation, I would probably have some sort of recording that I would flip on that would tell me what is true and what I know is real, and so, and you know, kind of the reassurances, reminders sort of thing. And then if it's sit down and tune into your body and meditate for a few minutes, whatever it is that gives you that determination to break that connection, so that what's being used to control you is used by you to free you.
Okay, that's great. That just feels so right. Great, I'm thinking maybe the blanket of acceptance with the CD.
Oh, yeah.
And maybe one of those bracelets.
Yep.
Yeah.
And, you know, I happen to know a little bit about you. So I happen to know that you like to share your life with critters.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, whenever that stuff starts in on you, you could just look at them and say to her, you know, the proof that you are a really good person is in the eyes of those little creatures when they look at you. They know who you are, and they love you unconditionally.
Yeah.
And too.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much.
You are so welcome. I look forward to talking to you before long.
Oh, yeah.
Because
yeah.
I understand you have a commitment to do that.
That's right. I absolutely do.
Good. Very good.
Thank you.
Great talking with you. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Catherine. You're listening to Open It with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we're going to hear from our sponsors, and then we'll be right back.
What would you do if you knew you could not fail? How free would you be? How deep would you love, dear? What would you hear if you listened to your beautiful heart?
This music by Trish Brooks for Culligan gives voice to what Simply Celebrate is all about. Opening to rivers of joy, listening to our hearts, trusting ourselves and our lives. Simply Celebrate is a book and business that grew out of gratitude for the work of Sherry Huber and this amazing Sangha. We use the practice as a foundation for helping people wake up to all the joy, spontaneity, color, and connection that is available in every moment. Please visit simplycelebrate.net.
What if you swam in a river of joy?
Porchdog Software is proud to support Open Air with Sherry Huber. For more years than we care to mention, Porchdog has been writing Windows and Mac software for customers big and small. We're pretty good at what we do, and we always try to remember that what we're doing is never more important than how we're doing it. Check us out at www.porchdogsoft.com. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
Welcome back to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Michael. It's Sri Devi from San Francisco.
Hey, how are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Excellent. Thank you. What's going on?
Well, I was calling because I've had these just wonderful sets of experiences lately, and it's just been... It's so powerful, and it really all happened when 2 or 3 weeks ago I was in this situation, and in the process of the situation happened, and I was walking away from the situation, and it was like what came up for me was, wow, that was a bit painful and definitely awkward and definitely embarrassing. And as I was sitting there after the situation had finished, it was really interesting because I realized in the moment that there was absolutely nothing wrong with any of those feelings. And I didn't have a desire to have any other experience. It was just like, oh, that's what it was. There's nothing wrong with it. Huh. Okay.
Wow.
And it was so different than any other relationship I had had with an experience like that before. And it really made me think about what I've been hearing so often is that I felt like, oh, I think this is what it's like to just have a human experience without any judgment, without any desire to be somewhere else. It's like, oh, this is what's going to happen when you're human. You're going to have situations in life that are like this, and they're completely okay, and there's nothing wrong with them. And it just opened my eyes up in a way that I hadn't experienced before.
Uh-huh. That is a beautiful tale of the benefits of disidentification, isn't it?
Yeah, and it just, you know, it was so interesting. And I've heard you say very often that an interesting place to go is to be curious, right? To be curious about what happens and what is pain and what is embarrassment? How does it show up? And what is it? And I can feel myself moving more into that curiosity place. And I've just been thinking about this human thing more and more. It sounds silly to say it, but it's almost like I imagine like you're a creature coming from another planet, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden you're human. And what is it like? Like, what's going on? And what does it mean? And all of a sudden all these things show up. And to come from a place of no judgment and a place of interest and compassion, it just, to start moving more and more in that direction just feels so, I think, freeing and exciting.
Oh, I think so too.
Yeah.
It's exciting just to hear you talk about it.
Yeah, and I just, it was just so funny because I was hanging out one day, I was at a someplace, and I was feeling really overwhelmed, and I've often felt overwhelmed. Someone shows up and she feels overwhelmed, and I was thinking about it, and I went, what if I enjoyed the feeling of overwhelm? Because I've never done that before. It's always been a bad feeling. And just by thinking that, like, the energy shifted in my body. It was so interesting to watch it happen. Like, I wonder if I could enjoy feeling overwhelmed. And I did, and it was okay. And it's like, I just feel like there's so much possibility when I start changing my relationship to what's going on in my life.
Yes. Now, of course, I have to ask this curiosity question.
Yeah.
When you did that,
yeah.
did you have a sense that you could no longer actually call it overwhelm? Or is that something for next time?
Maybe something for next time. I don't know if I looked at it that way. I just could. What happened actually in my body, because the overwhelmed felt, it was like, like, it almost felt like an energy, like, constricting my heart a little bit or something in my body. And when I shifted to being, enjoying the feeling, it almost felt like a release.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would bet so. And I bet you the next thing that you're going to notice is all feelings are enjoyable. In that way that you're describing, because you are a sentient being. You are a human being. What human beings are is feeling beings. Mm-hmm. And so now you're allowing yourself to have all the feelings that a human being has. My God, that's the definition of fully alive.
Yeah, and I've heard you say that before, and I never got, like, because I realize, like, I've been trying to structure my life for so long to only have one set of experiences.
Yes.
Well, I only want to have these feelings because these other feelings were always bad.
Yes.
And then through this practice, to have the willingness to be there for those other feelings, and not that the pain and the awkward and embarrassment were like the best feelings in the world, but just to be there for them, and then to have the experience that they were okay, and to just watch them kind of the energy and everything move through my body instead of trying to resist them, which I, in my experience, has just amplified them. It was just, wow. Oh, so this is what willingness can do. And this is what just being present can do. It's just being here.
Yeah. And haven't you, and haven't all of us, all of our lives wanted somebody who would just simply say to us from a place of truth and honesty, it's okay.
Oh my gosh, yeah. I have to tell you, I've been really focusing a lot on mentoring and really bringing the mentor in. And after that process happened with that situation, there was somebody who was really sad. And I was visualizing the mentor come in and sitting next to this young girl, and she was sitting on the edge of the playground watching the swings. She's always doing that. It's interesting. And she turned to the mentor and she went, "You know what? I feel really sad." And the mentor said to her, "You know what? I would too." And that was all she needed. And it was like, oh my gosh. And it was like what you're just saying, just being there and having that person who shows up, who says it's okay, and seeing how I could be that. And it was the simplest thing. There wasn't a monologue that the mentor had to go into. There wasn't a psychology. It was just like, yeah, I would feel that way too.
It was who wouldn't?
Yeah, who wouldn't? Yeah, yeah. So I just wanted to call and share that.
Oh, good. Well, I'm so glad you did. I want to say one other thing about that experience that in my experience, so there's that little girl sitting there, and she's going to sit there like that until somebody understands her.
Mm.
And all of us have so many of those places where we are just stuck. And it's the most, this is hard to describe, but it's so compassionate and intelligent that that's the case, because what it means is, essentially, that little girl is going to sit there until the compassion comes along that understands her, sees her, recognizes her, embraces her, welcomes her. And so that part of you is going to wait there until you come and find her and give her what she has been waiting for.
Yeah.
And then when that happens, she's free to go on. And
yeah,
so
she's free to go swing on the swings.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a really beautiful process that has been absolutely taken away from us by all of that conditioning that you referred to that says you should be this way, you should feel this way, and anything other than that is wrong and a mistake and proves what we've always said about you.
Yeah, and there's something about being willing to be there for that experience that I've really seen how it enables the compassion to just grow beyond belief.
Yes.
Just I become more and more compassionate the
yes.
more that I'm willing to be there for the experience.
Yes, you are literally expanding into the compassion that will contain all of this.
Yeah.
So each time you become that compassion and embrace something in, you, as compassion, get larger. It's a grand and glorious thing.
Oh, it's the best.
It is the best. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Bye, Michael.
Take
Bye.
Care. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Sri Devi. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Hey, it's Rebecca.
Hey, Rebecca.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm doing just great. How are you two doing?
Excellent.
Good,
What's
good.
What's going on?
Well, I wanted to talk about a process around my writing that I saw last night. And it's kind of centered around how it gets taken away from me. So it's been happening a long time with a lot of different content, but it's even been happening a long time with writing. And
let me make sure I understand you. So
okay.
This is a process that you are watching happen with writing that you recognize has happened with a lot of other content in your life?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Okay.
And you remember a while back I called in and said I was doing this team approach and
yeah.
writing in the different fonts. Well, I haven't done that in a long time. In fact, I think right after I called was probably about the last time I did that.
Can we just do a timeout?
Mm-hmm.
Did you know that, or did you just kind of wake up one day and go, what happened to that thing that I was doing?
That I so had a joy doing. No, I was kind of, well, I kind of went to sleep for a couple of weeks, and then I realized, oh, I haven't done my team writing this week or last week. And then what happened was I had signed up for a 6-week writing workshop, and so it said, well, I'm going to do this writing workshop, and that I'll just bring the team along to that. So I'm in week 4 of this writing workshop, and last night was week 4, and I just had the most depressing experience where I was teary and felt like I can't do this, that too much is I don't want to do this. Too much is being asked of me. And so I'm watching all this happen. And so it occurs to me today, oh, my golly, this is the process. This is happening again. And it's just a slow, a kind of just a shutting down of, just a shutting down, I think.
So, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the piece that you have seen happen with other things that you love.
Mm-hmm.
That's how
mm-hmm.
That's how they get taken away from you.
Yeah. And I end up just settling for, and this is the part where I'm going to cry. Where I end up just settling for something, you know?
Uh-huh. So the joy, the excitement, the enthusiasm just gets drained out of you, and you're left with, oh, well.
Exactly. Oh, well.
So let me ask you this. You've been through this a few times.
Uh-huh.
What would it take to get back to that joy?
Well, the first thing that came to mind is this image of this kind of dogged determination to plow through whatever is standing in my way of the joy. I had this image of like this really fierce mother with her cub under her arm and just kind of plowing through.
Smacking everything out of the way.
Yeah, just really, just like a, to mix my metaphors here, like a football player, you know, just kind of tackling everything.
Crazed mother football player.
Yeah, you got the picture?
Yeah, I got it. And but that's not how you got to joy in the first place.
Yeah, I sort of just fell into it.
Did you?
I think.
Uh-huh. And so tell me about the writing. Tell me about what made you want to write in the first place.
Well, I was on retreat one year, and I was turning 30. And this idea just popped into my head, I want to write. And it felt like just a way to just express myself. And so I just started, then kind of went away for a long time, and then I think I just started on like doing the 30-day retreat, and I started writing stuff down, and I would write and write and write, and nothing, you know, no expectations. And it was just like having a conversation with myself, and it was just me and having all this fun and getting to see myself.
And what's stopping you from doing that?
Well, last night I remember this voice coming in that said, in this real ominous tone, that I can't really sort of be that naked, that exposed, like, okay, I'm kind of embarrassed, but here's what it really said. It said, if you're going to write and you're going to be a good writer, you're going to have to bare your soul. like that, you know, like, ooh, you know. And there was part of me apparently that believed it, and I just got real scared and sad and backed away.
And let me ask you this. What part of your soul are you going to have to bear that you don't fully expect to have to bear in awareness practice?
That's a really good question.
I thought so.
Because, I mean, you know, because, you know, I'm pretty bearing it here on a radio program, you know, for that matter.
Exactly. and on retreat.
Yeah.
You know, do you hold back and sit there and say, oh, well, no, I can't really talk about that because that's too, no, that's not what we do.
Yeah.
So, okay, let's agree you got scammed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That would be an excellent thing to write about as you start out the next phase of your writing.
Yeah. Yeah. And can I tell you another piece of the thing, of the scam that's kind of still hanging?
Please, reveal it all.
Okay. It's that, yeah, but on retreat and on the radio program, I'm talking with people that get it and that are safe. And it's, you know, and it's a safe place and all of that. And if I write and someone were to find my writing or somebody were to read it or, you know, God forbid it should ever fall into the wrong hands, you know, or even if I should, you know, try to write something to be published and aren't, you know, then, boy, you're
okay.
Really asking for it.
So I, yeah, you are. I will, mm-hmm. from my own experience, I will promise you, you are.
Mm-hmm.
But I was writing something for the email class that's going on now for the fundraiser people. And
mm-hmm.
And so this person was talking about fundraising and you know, it's that whole, oh, God, I can't do that. What will people say? And then getting to the place of, but this is what my heart wants to do. And so I'm going to do it. And I wrote back and said something along the lines of, you know, first of all, is there any evil intent in any of this? You know, and the answer is no. So, you know, have you ever been able to control what people think or say? And of course,
yeah.
The answer is no.
Yeah.
And so why not then, given that, why not do what makes you happy? Because there will be a certain percentage of the people who will hate it and a certain percentage who will love it, and almost everybody else will have no interest whatsoever.
So I might as well do what makes me happy.
Don't you think?
Gosh, that felt so good to hear and felt even better to say.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Find what makes your heart sing. Do that. And
yeah.
And I can promise you, at least from my own experience, before too long, you'll find yourself surrounded by other people whose hearts sing for similar reasons. And what everybody else is doing is just up to them.
Yeah, kind of beside the point, huh?
It's beside the point. You can just hope that they're happy.
Yeah. Oh, good. Good.
So you got something to write about?
I've got a lot to write about.
Excellent.
And I can feel the heart starting to sing already.
Excellent. It's all we ask.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much.
You are so welcome. Have fun.
Have a good night.
All right, you too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Rebecca. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we're going to hear from Sangha Market and Stop, Drop, and Breathe.
Woo!
If you suddenly find yourself believing the voices in your head, don't panic. Just remember these three easy steps. Stop, drop, and breathe. That sequence again is stop, drop, and breathe. This public service announcement is brought to you by Voice Busters Incorporated, purveyors of the finest practice tools and reminders since 2008. Visit us on the World Wide Web at thevoicescartoons.org.
Stop, drop, and breathe. Stop, drop, and breathe.
What's this from Living Compassion?
If you've got a craving for fundraising and can't get enough of the good stuff, cruise and jet on the internet to www.sanghamarket.com.
That's sanghamarket.com for all of you squares out there.
Sangha Market, where you can sell, auction, buy, all to benefit Living Compassion. Check it out today.
Welcome back to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we have another caller here.
I just want to make one point, Michael, before we hear from that caller, and that is that anybody who thinks the life of a monk is grim really needs to meet Alex. Don't you think?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right, who do we have?
Yes, we have next caller. You are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself? Next caller, are you there? Okay, let's move on to the next one. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. This is Cam. I'm calling from Los Angeles.
How are you?
Hi, I'm good. Well, I'm good. I don't know how conditioning's doing, but I think I'm good.
That's what counts.
Yeah. I've really enjoyed kind of listening to everybody's calls and getting a little just very kind of inspired by how much all of our issues kind of are the same in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
And the thing I wanted to ask about today is I just recently graduated with a doctorate degree. So I've spent a lot of time working on this degree and, you know, great big celebration that I finished it. And so there's this kind of next phase for me where I kind of, you know, am meant to do something with it at this point. And it's
funny,
causing me that.
Funny how people have those expectations, isn't it?
It is. I've gotten a little bit of a luxury in terms of a little bit of time to kind of get my bearings a little bit and try to figure out, you know, do I want to use this degree in the manner in which it was, you know, initially conceived to be used?
Uh-huh.
Or, you know, is it time to just, you know, hightail it out of town and, you know, learn how to bake or something? I don't know. So I've been trying to watch this process and, you know, listen to what my heart is saying. And what I'm noticing is that I've gotten to a really, really wonderfully grateful place where I'm just lighted up sometimes by thinking about how much support I've received, how many people are looking out for me, how, you know, just how embraced I am. And it's so, you know, through this entire process, and it's been so heartwarming. And then I think about what I could do with it in the field that I've been trained to work in. And I notice like this kind of excitement, this really kind of all this energy. But then when it's time for me to kind of put the pedal to the metal and step up to the plate and take my turn to kind of really go at it, I notice that every, you know, willingness inside just kind of evaporates. And, you know, this has been a process that's gone on for, you know, pretty much the entire time I was working on the degree. And that's why it, you know, and for so long it was so hard, because it seems like, well, in my mind, this is what I want to do. But when it's time to do it, you know, I don't seem to be having the same amount of joyousness or willingness. And so it's caused. I'm sorry?
Can I ask you, so when that moment comes, What is there?
Oh, goodness.
What replaces?
Oh, it's a whole sad conversation about, well, see, you know, you weren't meant to do this. It's very quick. It's very quick to come in and explain why this is happening. like, well, this wasn't your track. You're forcing like a square peg into a round hole. You know, this is just too not right for you. Or, you know, alternatively, you're just, you know, kind of an idiot. So
wasted a lot of time and money on that one.
Yeah, yeah. So
can I ask you this?
Yeah.
So I hear in you, from you, a desire to give back. Is that a fair way to phrase that?
Yeah. When I think about it, is that, and it's just also like this great kind of, like, I feel so inspired. I don't know if that's the correct word, by just everybody's goodness, everybody
yeah.
that's shown up
yeah.
for me.
Okay. So then let me ask you this. Does it really matter the specifics of what you do, or does it matter the attitude of mind and heart that you bring to it?
I would definitely say the latter. Yes,
yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
It is definitely the heart.
Those voices want to negate that response that you have and focus it on the content of what you're doing.
Yeah.
So shall I just cut to the advice?
Yes.
You know, in this practice, we never give advice.
Oh.
You know that, of course. So this actually would never, you never want to think of this as advice, just kind of wise spiritual suggestions.
Yes.
All right? Stop listening to them.
Oh, goodness.
They're just trying to ruin your good time. Because and you know, of course, you're going to watch this happen several more times as you test out this theory.
Mm-hmm.
But without those voices taking you into that conversation, you wouldn't have a problem with this. You've worked really hard. You've been successful. You've received tremendous love and support along the way. Now you're ready to participate. Your presence is your participation. The content, what you do, is mostly irrelevant. Don't you think?
That's a difficult one. It goes against pretty much everything that conditioning, I think, believes about this profession.
Yes, that's why we want to stop seeking advice from it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you can do whatever it is that you've been so enormously trained to do. Or, as you say, you could learn to bake. And if you bring the force of your enthusiasm, presence, willingness, compassion, kindness, love, expansiveness to that, you're going to be a gift.
That's, I would love that. I think that would really feed that part of me that wants to, you know, really show the kind of gratitude I feel for everything I've been given and everything
yes.
that I've experienced and
yes.
gotten.
Yes. So that might be the conversation to focus on, the gratitude. So that everything that you do is an expression of the gratitude you feel.
You know, Sherry, when you say that, that's just terrific because it reminds me that you know, with that kind of gratitude kind of motivating, driving me, like kind of sitting in the kind of core of my intentions, then just all of this negative speak doesn't honor any of that gratitude. It's just, you know.
That's right.
It just flies in the face of it, and that's reason enough to stop.
Yes, and it just sounds petty and silly, doesn't it? You know, all those people who have been supporting you, and you get to this point, and you're going to turn around to them and say, and the net result of all of that is that I'm going to fall into an agony of depression over what I should do. And they're going to say, oh, my dear, that's not what we had in mind for you.
Yeah, it's not what they had in mind for me.
I want you to be happy. And from that happiness, to serve everything.
And Sherry, this is a process. I know that I've heard that again and again and again, and I just want to, I guess, get a reassurance that I'm going to forget this, and that it's okay that I'll just listen to this again, and it's okay.
To forget this?
Yeah, because there's a part of me that's just like stage fright, like, well, you know, you heard it, you learn it, and if you forget it, that means that, you know, you're hopeless. And,
yeah, well, most of us have to learn it about once every 60 seconds.
Okay.
Because that's about how long it takes us to get talked into unconsciousness and forgetting, and then we get to wake up again.
Okay.
So that's the argument for really learning to love that moment of waking up. Be happy that you're at home.
Yeah, and it just reaffirms this kind of path that I found with the practice here, and I'm just, you know, full of gratitude. Thank you so much.
You are so welcome. Take good care of yourself.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Cam. You've been listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, another great show.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it very much.
Oh, you too. And I'm grateful for everyone who participated, and I invite all of those who didn't get on the air to call us back.
Let's do it again.
Okay, next week.
All right. It's a deal.
Okay.
Thanks, Michael.
Thanks, Sherry.
Good night.
Good night.